The New Testament reading can be found on page 924 of the Pew Bibles and is taken from Romans chapter 15, reading verses 5 to 13. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading for today can be found on page 815 in your church Bibles, if you'd like to follow on to it. And it's Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. So let us pray. Loving God, help us to welcome others as you welcome us into your family. Amen. If you move to a new town or a new city, it can be quite difficult sometimes to find that spiritual family or that church where you feel particularly welcomed or even a part of things. So this is a story, and it could be about anyone, but this is about Melanie. She was a single parent of three children. She'd just gone through a really difficult divorce and she needed a change. And she was fortunate. She could find a new job in a different environment. She was able to move to a new town to start again. When she started at her new job, she was warmly welcomed by her colleagues, and she began to make friends. But the same perhaps couldn't be said about her life outside of work. She bought a new house and hoped that she and her children would develop friendships there. But her neighbours didn't seem interested. They were either standoffish or too private to engage with Melanie and her family. But Melanie was a Christian. She'd been involved in her previous church, and she built strong friendships that she now missed with this move to a new place. She started going to one of the churches in the town, and she had to learn the style of worship in that new church. And after the service, people didn't know what to say to Melanie beyond learning what her name was. Some asked where her husband was and the reasons for her move to that town. And sometimes Melanie was ignored completely. Her children began to hate going to church with their mom. And although they went to the children's work, it felt like the other kids only played with the kids that they already knew. And so it was difficult for Melanie and her family to settle in this church for many, many months. But eventually, she connected with another new family with children who arrived at the church a long time after her. I don't know if you've ever been involved in a scenario like Melanie's, or whether you know of people that it's happened to. It might have happened to your children or your grandchildren. If you've grown up in one church and lived in the same place all your life, the scenario might seem a little bit foreign. I always encourage Christians, when we're on our holidays, to visit other churches, just to remind ourselves what it feels like to be a newcomer in church. And I would always hope and pray that no one who comes into this church would ever be made to feel like Melanie. But that passage from Paul writing to the Romans tells us that we have to welcome and accept one another just as Jesus accepted us. And sometimes that's really hard for us to do, but I'm not quite sure why. Because the way that Jesus has accepted us for who we are and welcomed us into the kingdom of God is completely profound. He demonstrates his unconditional love for us when he takes on himself the punishment for our sins. And he did this despite anything we might have done. Doesn't matter where we came from, doesn't matter about our nationality, our gender. Jesus' word exhorts us to accept and to welcome one another. And that comes from the example that he's already set for us. And the word welcome means to take somebody to yourself, to let that person into your heart as a friend. It's not just doing a Christian duty of handing somebody a church newsletter at the door, give them a smile and then never talk to them again. Welcome looks more like inviting people into your life, maybe into your home, accepting them as an equal member of God's family, just as Jesus accepted you. But why do we need to accept one another? Because it says so in that reading, Romans 15, 17. Welcome one another just as Christ welcomed you in order to bring praise to God. And it brings God glory when we do that, meaning that when we don't accept one another, it doesn't bring glory to God. And we find so many different people in our lives, people who may look or sound differently to us, people from other countries who come to this area. Welcome includes accepting those who may have opinions that are different to our own. Welcome includes the people we wouldn't normally have, perhaps, in our friendship circles. And welcome even involves accepting people that we know we're not going to get along with. And accepting one another is at the heart of the Christian life. Accepting one another has love at its bedrock. And it draws from Jesus' example. Welcome one another just as Christ welcomed you, in order to bring praise to God. So God is glorified when we welcome and when we accept another person. We're not just doing something human, we're actually living out our theology. And Paul again and again emphasizes this in his letter to the Roman church, the command to accept one another. Although he never visited that church, he was aware of a self-appointed group of people who saw themselves as being strong Christians. They were imposing their convictions on others. And there were all sorts of rules to do with eating different kinds of food. So people were forced to accept these new rules and so violate their conscience by eating meat sacrificed to pagan gods. And the stronger Christians didn't see their behavior as anything like a problem. But the new believers were really grieved by this position on dietary laws. And it was an unnecessary offense. Paul teaches that where this kind of controversy happens, where people are not welcomed, it's not actually about food and rules at the heart of it. It's all about love. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love, he says in Romans 14. So Paul exhorts people to welcome one another in love, just as Jesus welcomed all. And that requires embracing people simply for being who they are, whether they're strong or weak, whether they're educated or not, whether they're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Everyone has worth and everyone has value. So welcome one another, accept one another, love one another. And if we believe in Jesus, this is what we must strive to do when we come to worship together, but also beyond the walls of the church and out in our community as well. We're to treat the poor no differently than we treat the rich, women no differently than men, and children no differently than adults. Those on the fringes of society no differently than those who are an established part of the community. And Jesus, of course, sets a really worthy example of this by welcoming the outcasts, the lepers, the children, the poor, the common people in his circle of friends. No one was excluded. So to welcome one another and greet each other means that no matter who that person is, when they're present in the body of Christ, they need our fellowship. And there's no need to build up barriers because of any kind of suspicion. Instead, we need to open the doors of our hearts and our homes and genuinely welcome those who are seeking fellowship with us. And we can ask God to give us courage to reach out to the people we want to get to know better. Ask God to give you ideas on how you can consciously welcome others into your life. And when we pray like this, let's trust that God is going to give us the wisdom to navigate through those differences within the church. And at the end, God will welcome us into his presence one day. So we always have to trust that God will give us the wisdom and the strength to follow this welcome through. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.